Welcome to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast, produced by the Academic Health Science Network for the North East and North Cumbria, which supports innovation in all its forms within the NHS and social care. In this podcast, we will showcase some of the amazing work and programmes that we lead on to transform healthcare through innovation. And if you'd like to find out more about how the AHSN supports healthcare through innovation, you can visit our website at www.ahsn-nenc.org.uk. Karen Hooper is the midwifery lead for the Maternity and Neonatal Safety Improvement Programme. In this episode, Karen hosts a conversation on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic during pregnancy, hearing the experiences of those working on the front line, as well as one mum-to-be about her decision to have the COVID vaccination while pregnant. And we have some useful links and resources available at the end of this episode for anyone seeking further support.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to thank all of you here today for participating in this podcast and to everybody that's listening to it. Friday, September the 17th is World Patient Safety Day. And the international theme this year for 2021 is safer maternity and newborn care. So we're hoping that this will be the first in a series of podcasts highlighting some of the areas in maternity and neonatal care where there's lots of work going on, and to how we can improve our safety and our experience for our mums and our babies, particularly here in the North East and North Cumbria. So we're going to focus today on the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and its very real impact on our pregnant population and what we're doing as a region to work together to increase awareness and accessibility of the vaccine to some of our patients and their families. So firstly, I'd like to do a short round of introduction to the people that are here today. So my name's Karen Hooper. My main place of work is as the lead midwife for risk, safety and quality at Gateshead NHS Hospital Trust, but I'm also the midwifery lead for the North East and North Cumbria Maternity and Neonatal Safety Improvement Project, or the MatNeoSIP as it's known. And this work's supported by the AHSN. So it's in my capacity today that I've invited some people to come along and talk about COVID-19 in pregnancy. So I'd like to start with Carla Anderson. If you'd like to introduce yourself, Carla.
Hi, thanks, Karen. I'm Carla Anderson. I'm the public health midwife at Northumbria Healthcare Trust. So I work to improve the health of pregnant women and their babies, and especially at the moment to promote COVID vaccines in pregnancy.
Thanks, Carla. We've got two Emmas with us today. So first of all, I'm really grateful to Emma Jackson. She's one of our pregnant mums who's come to talk to us today about her experience with in her pregnancy with COVID and with the vaccine. So I'll just come to Emma.
Hello, yes, my name's Emma Jackson. I'm due very soon, 2nd of October. So I think that makes me about 3-4 weeks away, which is very scary. And I'm more than willing and happy to talk about my experiences of the COVID-19 pandemic throughout my pregnancy. And I think it's really important that we start to raise awareness, especially for pregnant women across the North East.
Thanks, Emma. Now I'm going to come to the next Emma, who's one of a pair we've got today from our regional vaccination team. So I'll come to you, Emma.
Hello everyone, my name's Emma McCorn. I am the matron at Nightingale Mass Vaccination Centre. My role really, I'm a trust nurse from Newcastle Hospitals, and I came into the role to help support the vaccination programme across the North East. I've been doing quite a bit of work in the regional maternity services as pop-up clinics to try and target some of our pregnant ladies and talk to them more a little bit about COVID and the vaccine. So thank you very much for having me here today as well.
Thanks, Emma. And finally, come to Jo.
Hi, I'm Jo Turner. My background is that I'm a midwife. I work for Newcastle Hospitals. Within that role, I also do an improvement and transformation role. I was seconded into the vaccine regional team last December to help and support the teams going forward with rollout of vaccinations. And I'm here to support all of you with what we're doing today about rolling out to pregnant women. Just to also say, from March last year, I was in occupational health, supporting pregnant staff coping with the pandemic initially, and I've also been working on the wards from March last year within the Trust, and having COVID positive women coming through within the intranatal and postnatal care. Thank you.
Thanks, Jo, and thanks everybody. So I just wonder whether I'd like to come to Carla first, if that's all right. As a public health midwife, I wonder if you could kind of set the scene for us about what you're seeing at the moment. In, you know, you obviously work in a very busy hospital. What are you seeing with in terms of the impact of COVID on the pregnant women coming through your departments?
Thanks, Karen. So we know kind of the national picture is about 150 women per week are admitted with COVID symptoms into hospital. And that's across the country. And these women, when they're admitted with symptoms, got now a 1 in 8 chance of going to intensive care. And that's changed dramatically with the new Delta variant. And these women who go to intensive care aren't just poorly, they're really sick. So these women are needing mechanical ventilation to sustain the breathing. But when you're pregnant, that's a huge risk to both you and your baby. So it's a really scary picture in the hospital.
And within your hospital yourself, are you seeing a lot of women coming through?
We are, yes. So we're having women every day who come into pregnancy assessment with mild symptoms. And then unfortunately, most weeks we're now seeing someone who needs some sort of respiratory support, which again has a massive impact on the woman's health and the baby. And most of these babies will be delivered by emergency cesarean section, and they'll be delivered earlier than term, which again has huge impact on the long-term health of the child.
Thanks, Carla. And I suppose coming to Emma, our mum, I'm going to call you, or our mum-to-be. Emma, these things that you hear from Carla and that you hear from the national team must be, for you as a pregnant mum, quite a scary time. I just wonder, and I think what you didn't say in the introduction is, I think you're a teacher, aren't you, Emma? So I guess through your workplace as well, COVID must have had quite an impact on both your work life and obviously you as an expectant mother. I wonder if you could just kind of talk through what your experience is, and maybe that, you know, if you've heard anything from friends and things.
Yeah, so I am a teacher, thankfully. So my employee, but I'm one of the lucky ones. One of my other friends, who's a current teacher as well, she hasn't been allowed to come out of class at 28 weeks. So I haven't actually taught since I've been 28 weeks pregnant. My head pulled me out of the classroom, and that wasn't dependent on having the vaccine or not. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when I first fell pregnant, I was really sort of on the fence of getting the vaccine, but it wasn't until hearing all of these numbers and actually knowing just how much risk you are in your third trimester, especially, I just thought it was essential and absolutely paramount to get vaccinated. I'm a minority, I'll be honest. A lot of my friends who are pregnant don't want the vaccine and think, oh, I'll be fine. But there's always that what if for me. You know, we'll happily have other vaccines for flu, whooping cough, but why is COVID any different? And I think it's really important that we raise as much awareness as we can. I think definitely needs to be more done. I mean, this is brilliant what's happening today, but I think by the government as well, just really raise the profile and the awareness of the COVID vaccine, especially amongst the pregnant population.
Yeah, I think we've seen that as well. And I'll come to the other Emma, really, just about her experience, because as she'll tell you, there has been a target across the region to try and access pregnant women, you know, through pop-up clinics and through attendance at antenatal clinics and places where, you know, pregnant people and their families might hang out to try and raise that awareness. And I suppose, I come to the other Emma, the questions that Emma says and the reluctance among her friends, that's certainly something that we've seen, isn't it? You know, very much so in the pregnant people that we're talking to.
Yeah, I mean, I started the vaccination programme in a mass vaccination centre in January, and I think the messages were hard to look at, because when the messages first came out around pregnancy, there was a bit of a lack of information on the safety of the vaccine. I think unfortunately, in the early term of February, March, that did put a lot of ladies off having the vaccine because the evidence wasn't really there. I think we've progressed a lot in the last 6 months. There's lots of evidence now. There's been lots of publicised papers out there. There's been lots of journals promoting that vaccines actually are safe in pregnant ladies. But unfortunately, we're still having to deal with some of those early times when we didn't all know, even as health professionals, what advice to give our patients, our pregnant ladies especially. So I think part of what we were doing at vaccination was to try and take what we know about the vaccine, but take them into the maternity services, where at least we were able to show women that we were going into maternity services. We were welcomed into maternity services. The midwives wanted us to be there. And that collaboration between us and the team there made a much safer environment, I think, for the ladies to attend to have the vaccination. Whereas coming into a mass vaccination centre can be quite difficult. It's fast paced. There's lots of people. Ladies who are pregnant obviously are worried about contracting COVID. So coming into these big spaces where there's lots of people around isn't always the best environment. But targeting ladies maybe and even just having a chat to them at antenatal care, postnatal care even, because we've been helping ladies when they've just had the baby have the vaccine, because that's great too if they've waited. So I think we've learned a lot as health professionals about how to talk to ladies and get lots of information back from them, like Emma says, and try and stop this stigma of what happened in the very, very beginning.
Yeah, I think as a midwife as well, I'm sure Carla and Jo will agree. When at the very start of the pandemic, we were getting kind of different information almost on a daily, sometimes hourly basis. And for us to kind of digest that and understand it and know how to share that information with the families that we're trying to provide the information to is really hard, because you're saying something one day that maybe has changed a little bit, as more information comes through, as we know more and more about the safety of the vaccines. So that is hard, I think, to get over that initial block and conflicting information. Emma, our pregnant mum, are there any other concerns that you're hearing from your friends? I mean, do you think that people are waiting until they've had the babies before they decide to go for the vaccination? Or do you think there's specific things that they're still worried about?
There's two issues. I've got, so in my group of friends, babies is big at the moment. I've just had a friend with a baby 2 weeks ago, and it's something that we're at that age now. That's what we're doing as our friendship group. But I've got a friend who's trying for a baby, and she's putting off having the COVID vaccine because she's heard a rumour about a fertility. Now, there's a lot of stuff online which it makes it really conflicting. And, you know, I've kind of said to her, you know, you need to go. So I know Carla works at the Village Hotel sometimes and does drop-ins, and isn't just for pregnant women, that is also for women who are trying to conceive as well. And I've sent her in that direction, trying to get some advice to get her to get the vaccine. And another issue is women who have waited and so my friend who I was talking about before, she hasn't had the vaccine because she's waiting until she's breastfed baby, because she's concerned that anything gets passed through in the milk. And I think these are the two major issues that if you're not pregnant, these are the two other issues that needed to be kind of tackled, I would say, that women are worrying about.
Thanks, Emma. And I don't know whether the other Emma or whether Jo is the best to maybe give some response to those two queries, the fertility one, which we have heard a lot about, and the breastfeeding issue.
Thanks. I can speak about it if you like, and I'm sure Carla and Emma from her experience will say that obviously we have supportive information at site, like Emmy, Mum, you were saying that going to either the pharmacy for you at the Cobalt or any of our large vaccine sites, we do have quite a lot of information about people's experiences, but lots of the time it's prior to going to those sites, it's just the media. We've done quite a lot of media support for the infertility and the information that people get that they feel they would like to ask more questions about, and getting the correct answers. We've had quite a lot of support for people who have been postnatal coming into site for bringing their babies in. So those sort of things, we've tried to make sure that we've open to everybody being able to access that. But like you say, Emma, a lot of it's about people talking to other people. And I think probably Carla in her role, and also the public health midwives and all the other trusts, are trying to get to the antenatal or the pre-antenatal women to say that when you first book in, or you're talking to your friends about being pregnant, those worries and queries about being open to passing on any sort of problem to your child for postnatal breastfeeding or fertility problems about conceiving. We've really tried to support people to get the best advice from their specialists if they feel they need to go into more than minutiae, or to get some from their community midwife or GP. But I do agree with you, Emma, it's about the media. I don't want to say misinformation, because that sounds very sort of dismissive, because people get their source of information from lots of different areas. It's just trying to get stuff that you know has been research-based and supported by somebody that you trust for the outcome of that conversation, because there's lots of other issues. And I think from my experience working with pregnant mums who were health professionals, a lot of it was about previous experiences of pregnancy, stillbirth, loss, all sorts of other stuff that it's not obvious when you first speak to somebody, but it is a very big concern. So yeah, at the vaccine sites, we have lots of information, and also try and support women pre-pregnancy through their GPs and the first point of contact. I don't know if Emma wants to add anything to that. Emma McCone?
Yeah, I can understand these questions, because we've been to the maternity services and these are very common questions. You know, is the vaccine going to give me COVID was a very common question, you know, thinking that you're injecting somebody with a live virus, which we're absolutely not. Can the vaccine pass over to my baby? And the evidence is shown that actually sometimes it can help create good antibodies, so that baby's safer during pregnancy. You know, can I breastfeed after I've had a vaccine? And absolutely, it's safe to do so. So I think these common questions come up all the time, but I do think there's an element of being frightened to have the vaccine. And I think I echo Joe, and I know Carla and Karen will say the same, is talking through things is absolutely the right thing to do. So if people are sat on the fence and they're worried, rather than going to some of the social media sites and hearing about other people's experience, it's good to have your own experience with a health professional to talk things through and get the most up-to-date advice. And I know that all of us, while nobody forces anyone to have vaccination, we're recommending it because we're seeing these huge risks now with COVID and pregnancy, and the detrimental effect that can have on the ladies and their babies. So you know, it's great, Emma, that you have these chats with your friends, and because I think we want that as health professionals. We want you to talk, we want to understand these queries so we can help answer them.
Thanks, both of you. I think and I'll see whether Carla's experience is the same as mine, but I think what we're seeing is, certainly with the relaxation of the restrictions in maybe normal life, I think COVID isn't quite such a priority in people's thinking now in their day-to-day lives. We're not seeing quite so many masks being worn. You know, people are starting to go out and get back to a little bit of normality. And I wonder whether the impression is that it's gone and we're okay now. And I think certainly the experience in maternity services, you know, with the latest wave of COVID and now is far, far worse than the previous two waves. And I think it is because we have this quite specific pot of pregnant women, or women that are thinking about getting pregnant, or as you say, women that are still breastfeeding. It's quite a bespoke group of people that we're seeing that are actually really quite vulnerable now. And I think that's probably why it's hit us a little bit worse at the moment. I'm just going to come to Jo, because she's put her hand up there, and then I'll see what Carla's experience is, if that kind of, I think, you know, mirrors across the region and across the country.
Thanks, Karen, and thanks, Emma. I think the two things just to raise there, and I'm sure across all the region we're doing the same sort of thing, that within each of the hospital sites, we're still continuing to wear masks and we still continue to register people coming in as visitors. We've relaxed the visiting somewhat on the at the RVI site. But my experience, which is absolutely anecdotal, is that when I look after women and I do a shift at least once or twice a month within the maternity sector, I actually go in and do bank shifts, is a lot of the positive patients have a very hard time because they're restricted for their visitors, their mums, their aunts, their cousins, their friends to come in and support them postnatally at home because they're positive. The actual positivity within the ward as well to share with other women is restricted because they're positive on the ward and we're restricting that. But also the fact that then they will think they haven't done the right thing because they've come in. We swab everybody who comes in, of course. I'm sure you know that when you come into labour, you come in and stay on our wards. We do a series of PCRs that those sort of things are restricted. I'm not saying that you don't get a positive PCR whether you're vaccinated, but it does mean that women do have a harder time when they are most vulnerable and do need a huge pillow of comforting support from everybody at that time. So I just wanted to interject there that, you know, those kind of things are still going on in the hospital, even though there is a relaxation outside and the main population walking into, you know, supermarkets or going to parties or whatever it else they do. But within the actual trust sites, it is still quite restrictive if you're positive with a COVID test.
Yes, thanks for that, Jo. You're absolutely right. Carla, can I come to you? Is there anything to add kind of from your experience?
Yeah, I think you mentioned before about the picture that everything's kind of relaxed in the outside world and the public think that COVID's disappearing. That is absolutely not the case in maternity. I would say that this year is much worse than last year because things are relaxed, people are maybe taking more risks, people can't isolate like they did last year. So there's definitely COVID is still here and it's still dangerous, especially for pregnant women. So I just wanted to get that across. And then the other point about the safety of the vaccines, and we do hear that the mixed message has concerned women. As midwives, you know, at the health of a woman and her baby is our absolute priority. And as professionals, we're bound by responsibility to challenge the evidence in the research. And I'm sure everyone, yourselves, who's working with women, has looked at that evidence themselves and looked at it and critiqued it. And, you know, we're absolutely confident that the vaccine's safe. And if it wasn't, there's no way I would be sitting here suggesting that a pregnant woman had it. And that's the same for all of my colleagues.
Thanks, Carla. And I think one of the things that I kind of had one of the pointers to talk about was, you know, the guidance that we're getting down from our governing bodies, from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists and from the Royal College of Midwives. And certainly we're supported by our governing bodies and as you say, the research. And if there are some kind of very clever teams of a whole host of respected clinicians, midwives, and patient voices that really hand us down recommendations that are thoroughly researched and really robust. And I think that's where we take all our guidance from, is certainly from those experts. Emma, from the vaccination team, I wonder if I could just come back to you just to find out some specifics about what's on offer for the women in our region who might hear this podcast and think, actually, I want to know a little bit more about this. And actually, I do want to go for my vaccination and I'm going to take my partner with me and my mum and my sister.
Yeah, so obviously most of the sites now are offering walk-in availability, and the two vaccines recommended for our pregnant ladies are both Pfizer and Moderna. Moderna we've been using throughout most of the springtime, so Pfizer really is the one that's prevalent in most centres around the region. You know, to come to a vaccination centre, and I think it's an important point, and maybe after this Emma could mention about partners, because what we found at maternity was that actually our pregnant ladies wanted to discuss things through with their partner. It didn't seem it was just a decision just for mum. It was also a decision for partners and whoever else is supporting the pregnancy at home. So I do think, you know, having people there is, we don't restrict we restrict obviously too many people in centres because of COVID and social distancing, but I think we would never turn anybody away in a supportive measure with a pregnant lady who wanted to bring someone with them for advice and support. So Pfizer is very much available, like I say, as a walk-in. The recommendation is that you would have a first dose of Pfizer if you haven't had it, and then 8 weeks later you would get the second dose. We keep to much as time as possible. So there's often lots of questions around gestation. When should I have the vaccine? Should I wait till after trimester? Should I wait? Should I not have it if I'm 36 weeks and wait till I've delivered? But actually what we're all telling our ladies is have the vaccination at any time of pregnancy, pre-pregnancy, post-pregnancy, when baby's a little, any time, but come and get the vaccine and then at least you're on that programme. And I think it's important to say if you've had a first dose and then you've fell pregnant afterwards, there's been a lot of conversations around, well, how long can I wait? We recommend to just keep going on the programme of the same vaccine that you've had. So those ladies who might have had AstraZeneca vaccine pre-pregnancy, we would still recommend the AstraZeneca vaccine if you've already had one dose with no complications. But again, I think any of those questions, come into the centres and talk to somebody and have that time to get some information. And even if that means waiting 10 to 15 minutes after that conversation or going home and coming back the next day, that's absolutely fine too. Yeah, so Emma, did you want to make that decision just for you or?
No. So my husband works in the public and he has his own shop and he's always around people. It's a really busy little shop. So I was really conscious of him, and though he upped his protective measures at work, he's been fully vaccinated a long time before me. It was a really hard decision to make. To be honest, it was a mixture of speaking to my midwife, speaking to my husband and speaking to my mum. And that's how I made the decision. And it was the research and actually seeing what could happen that pushed it for me. I had the Pfizer vaccine. I've had both of them. No side effects, which is really positive. And I actually feel really, really happy and confident that was the right decision for me. And I definitely utilised my support network to make that decision.
Thanks, Emma. That's perfect. That was what I was going to ask you as well. So about your experience. And where did you actually go for your vaccine? Did you go to one of the drop-in clinics?
Yeah, I went to the drop-in clinic first, Pharmacy for You at the Village Hotel. And then I went back there and that's where Carla was. And I bumped into her a week early. I got my weeks mixed up, but I went back and got it the next week. So yeah, I went to Pharmacy for You for my vaccination.
Brilliant. That's really good. I think we've covered a whole load of topics there. I think I'm just going to come round to everybody in turn and just check, is there anything else that you think it's really important or anything that you're burning to say that we haven't covered? I'm going to come to Emma from the vaccination team first.
Thanks, Karen. No, nothing. I think that's been a really useful conversation. And I think it's very important for us to remember as health professionals to listen to our pregnant ladies too. I think it's important the information shared and of how we can potentially make services better. You know, is targeted care the best way within services? Is there anything more that we can do? And I think we have to always have that ear open to listen to what happens, because it's how we make us better as health professionals. But I do think there's lots of people to talk to. I think there's lots more information. We're a lot more skilled to talk than we were in the beginning of vaccination. You know, we have that little bit extra time now to talk things through. And it's not a rush decision. There is no forcing to have anyone to have the vaccine there and then, but coming into a centre, I would really advocate, even if you're unsure and even if you leave the centre without a vaccination, but at least you leave with more information and know that you've got that support available. So that's what I would recommend going forward for anyone who's thinking about having vaccination.
Thanks, Emma. And Joe, anything to add from your point of view?
Yeah, we've really tried to look at health inequalities within pregnancy, because vaccine sites and large hospitals tend to be areas where you have to have transport And you have to also be able to have time away from work or your children, potentially, if you do want some space and time to talk. And also the or whole thing about going to somewhere that's not within your locality. So again, I think we need to make sure that pregnant women get the right information as soon as they find out they're pregnant from their midwife or GP, that those questions can be answered early on, and there's facilities that can be linked into those local areas. Now, we are doing pop-ups, we have done buses. Emma's been working with the paternity teams in each of the trust sites to go in to see them in antenatal clinics, because they're always a really good place, because majority of women have to come for a scan or a checkup or a particular thing, and they might have some health inequalities, let alone social inequalities. So it's just the remit, really, to make sure that we take down the barriers to vaccination and bring the vaccination to women at the locality. And we're working quite hard with the PCNs to make sure that there are pop-ups or clinics that literally are on the doorstep for those women to feel that they can pop in. Popping into Nightingale is not easy, it's difficult, but popping into your GP or a local clinic held in the pharmacy or local village hall is much better. And you might even meet people that you get on with. So it's one of these things that pregnant women, you know, we're always looking out for other pregnant women with babies to say, you know, how can I learn from you and what support can I get? So I just wanted to add that in. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks very much for that, Jo. That's really important. Carla, can I come to you?
Yeah, thanks. Just to echo what Jo said there, in Northumbria, we're out in the communities of the areas which have low vaccination rates. We're going to the women to ask them how they want to be vaccinated, what they need. So if anyone sees those advertised, please come and speak to us. There's no pressure. We'll just give you the facts and the evidence, and you can make your own mind up and then come back at a different date if that's what you want. But please speak to us. We're here to help you, and we're here to help you have a healthy pregnancy.
Thanks, Carla. And Emma, our expectant mum, I'm going to come to you last and just for some final words from you.
Yeah, just from me, if you have any concerns or any questions, please go seek, seek the appropriate help. You know, go to the vaccination centres. There will be someone there who wants to help you. Ring your midwife, ring your doctors. Try and stay away from, because I've had a bit of this trap, try and stay away from the negatives that are online and just go and seek the facts. That's what you really have to do to make the right decision for you. And you will make the right decision for you if you go and seek the appropriate facts from the right people.
Thank you so much, everybody, for your time this afternoon. I think that's been a really, really helpful conversation. We've covered loads of stuff there in the last half an hour or so. So that's been really, really helpful. Apart from saying thank you from me, I think just to say to all of our pregnant mums and families out there, just a reminder that although COVID is still here, your maternity service is always there for you. So we are open. There is somebody there that you can contact 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So normal maternity care doesn't stop just because of a pandemic. Your midwives are there. And if there's any questions, not just about COVID or any concerns whatsoever, we really, really want to hear from you. And be able to give you that support and that advice. So please do contact us. And I think that's all for us today. So thank you ever so much.
Thank you for listening to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast, produced by the Academic Health Science Network for the North East and North Cumbria. If you have further questions about this episode or need further support, please speak to your midwife or maternity care provider. You can also find useful resources through the local maternity systems Northern England at www.northernlms.org. You can also visit the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists at www.rcog.org.uk. We will, of course, provide all these links in this episode's show notes. Thank you again for listening.